Blog Talk Radio.
Peace to the ancestors. Yes. Peace to Dr. Cornell West. Yes. Peace to the movement. Yes. We came from the bottom. Ever since they got us, we've been going through these problems. 400 years behind, and it's no promise that we gon' never actually be equal, to be honest. It's messed up how they put us in chains, kidnapped our language and changed our names. But when we speak Ebonics, then they call it a shame. They leave us with a couple options, rob or slain. Now we locked up again. How much can our skin take? We went from slaves to inmates, carrying the weight of the 50 states. Working your forms, black nannies carrying white babies in their arms. Black men sacrifice their lives in your wars, but you'll never show appreciation here at home. You treat us so damn wrong. You act like you hate my race. The police, they just beat us in the streets like an 808 base. America, when will you defend my case? You never will, cause your freedom is fake. I'm only living here cause I wanna get paid enough to round up all my family and shake.
Get up, get up. Get up, get up. Get up, get up. Get up, get up.
They done tore down all the PJs in my barrio. Gang units for worst case scenario. Still a couple of quirks, can't call it pancakes cause you pour some syrup. It's a whole lot bigger than a pretty new house, especially when the road's still running about. P. Diddy running marathons, raising dough. That's going to the school where the tax money go. Homeland Security now, there's a phenomenon. Pacifying folks by hanging Saddam. Troops still riding, still obliging. Still no Bin Laden. Tuned in waiting for the president's announcements. No 40 acres. Take these 40 ounces. We ain't gon' get on the levees. Revolution televised early. Is you ready?
Why you wanna treat me so cold, America?
Forced to climb instead of how your back heavy, you beat and lost your mind. Especially when you done been down for so much time. Getting up don't even really ever cross your mind. You got porn shop, gun shop, liquor store sign. SWAT team, crack fiends, unemployed line. Stay late, dollar short, trying to buy time. What we do to survive is defined as a life of crime. You get ball, then you forced to grind. If you fall, then you cross the line. And I've been putting in work from 9 to 5 and 5 to 9. This phone call cost a dime. What it made me is one of the relevant, highly intelligent. Brothers not only dealing with the same drug selling. If I'm a hustler, then what's more American? We all founded on the same drug heritage.
America, why you wanna treat me so cold? America, I done gave you all that I own. America, took me from my mama so young. America, locked me up and gave me your name.
America, 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 you know the black freedom movement. You know we've been trying to redeem the soul of the nation. Even as that nation been trying to render us soulless. But we are our soulful people, the blues people. We've been keeping alive the blood stained banner of democracy. Thank God for those who came before. We shall never forget them and always move forward with grace and dignity.
America, why you wanna treat me so cold? America, I done gave you all that I own. America, took me from my mama so young.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Mary Lee Live Show. This is Dr. Mary Lee. We are so excited about being here tonight. We've got a great show set up for you, and we welcome you. We thank you for joining us each and every single week. We've got this so many great things going on right now. I wish I could share everything with you. But God is moving the Neighborhood Commerce Institute from one place to another place and a higher place. And I'm just so thankful and so grateful. It's all about entrepreneurship. It's all about following our dreams. It's all about whatever is on the inside of your heart and in your gut, you can do. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is too hard for our Creator. Everything was created by our Creator. And what is inside of you, God intends for you to manifest it. And it is entirely, entirely up to you. It's entirely up to you where you are in your confidence and your faith in what God has given to you. If you can think it and feel it and conceive it at all, God will bring it to pass. And we have to believe that and know that. Never, ever, ever stop or doubt whatever's in your heart and your mind. I'm a living witness, have come so very, very far since my young years, and I still consider myself very young. So we've come a long way. God is manifesting, and I am so grateful and so thankful. So thank you for joining us tonight. We've got a great show lined up. Our Ward Holdings International Thread Out of Africa is going to update us right now. They are in another meeting, but they'll be out very soon, shortly after 9:30. They'll be joining us. In the meantime, I want to thank our panelists, our doctor staff for joining us tonight, and we're going to hear from you. Tell us who you are. Dr. Moncrief and Dr. Longs are on, and we're thankful to you. One thing that we're going to talk about tonight, until Ward Holdings join us, we're going to talk about, and I'm just kind of like dumping this out here right now, so our doctor panelists don't even know. But we want to talk about this thing called the tridemic. You know, I want you, I don't know who wanted to be first, Dr. Moncrief or Dr. Long, but what is going on? That's what I want to know. What is going on? I want to ask our audience to remember you can tap 1 on your phone anytime to join the conversation. Thank you for joining us again, Dr. Whichever one of you want to go first. Or I'll draft Dr. Moncrief. So what's the tridemic? What is going on? You know, I understand that children are filling up the ICUs, I think that's what they're called, and with this tridemic. So Dr. Moncrief, welcome. Tell us who you are, and let's talk about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Mira Lee, for again, letting me be on the show here and participating. This is a wonderful opportunity for us to share information and to share knowledge. Yes, you didn't tell us that this was going to be where you wanted to start, but this is, important to understand, you know, what's going on. Over the past few weeks, there have been more pediatric admissions to ICUs for respiratory illnesses. Now, we've been having respiratory illnesses ever since we've been collecting information on respiratory illnesses, but what we have not been seeing is large volumes of our children being ill. I apologize for that. for that phone. I have a nephew who's out having a little crisis right now, so I have to keep my phone, other phone on. Anyway, we're seeing children being admitted to ICUs at numbers that we have not seen before. And we're seeing them being admitted for different types of respiratory infections. Normally, I would say, you know, because the world is smaller, we're collecting more information, and it just looks like our kids are getting sicker, but it isn't. But that's simply not true. That's simply not what we're seeing. We're seeing our kids, children, all over this country, all over this country, being admitted to ICUs with respiratory diseases. I have no idea why this is happening, why kids are getting sicker than they have been getting. We didn't know about COVID, but we knew about RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. We've known about that as being one of the causes of the common cold for years, and we know that kids who are very, very young, whose immune systems aren't working yet, we know that they would get particularly ill with these infections, iller than children who are not compromised in any way. We knew that. Mm-hmm. We even have a vaccine for RSV. We've known this for years, but what we're seeing right now, we have not seen before. So, I don't know if anybody has answers today. So that's why I will start, and I'll turn it over to you and Dr. Long. But that's where I would start. What we're seeing today, we really have not seen before. Okay.
Yeah, I don't see Dr. Tynes. So while you're turning it over to Dr. Long, wonder if you could reach out to Dr. Tynes, because if we can get some answers, because families are very concerned and have brought this issue to us as late as today. And, you know, I've seen it in my own family, really, you know, this serious respiratory a problem. And so, Dr. Long, if do you have any insight on what is going on?
Good afternoon, Dr. Lee. Again, thanks, as always, for this opportunity. Even though my background or my practices in behavioral health and psychiatry, of course, going through medical school, a lot of these different topics, you know, we have to learn as well. My view of it in terms of this collision, you know, it seems like what people are talking about, a collision course in which the flu, which has been around, COVID, which, of course, has been around too, but not like COVID-19. And RSV all coming this winter. And I don't know why we're going through this now, but using, I think, of an increased incidence or prevalence of different sort of illnesses, you kind of wonder, particularly in infectious disease, could this be related to some resistance to actual bacteria? And, of course, we're talking about viruses, which are, you know, there's really not a lot of medication you can use for those sort of things. But just, you know, from my views and deductions, is perhaps, you know, there's so many underlying bacterial illnesses that we've been treating. And we all knew that antibiotic resistance could always pose a threat. So maybe things are out of balance. And, of course, we've seen all these viruses pretty much rise. You know, it's always been stated that the downfall of mankind is not going to come from an atomic bomb. It's going to come from some kind of thing you can't see, like a virus. And again, maybe that's what's going on. But as far as any scientific knowledge, again, I definitely believe that to Dr. Tynes, definitely Dr. Davis, who would be great if he could come on to talk about that as well. And I will try to reach out to him as we're on the show.
Okay, that's great. I mean, particularly due to the fact that we do need to wait a little bit before, you know, the rest of the team comes on from Ward International. So if you could reach out to Dr. Tynes, this is such an important
issue. He's on his way. Dr. Tynes is on
his way. Oh, he's on his way. That's great. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Moncrief. I want to acknowledge that we have Pastor Josh Williams on fire from our guest coming on tonight. And we have Pastor, I believe I saw Dr. Pastor George Green sign on. But if we can get Dr. Tynes on as soon as he comes on, because it is an issue. And I've had people to reach out, as I say, late as today. And, okay, so we got Pastor George Green. We've got Pastor Jock Williams. And we're waiting on one more. And we also have, I want to ask our special guest tonight to tap one on your phone and so that we can open up your line. So I do see Pastor, welcome Dr. Tynes. We appreciate your coming on tonight for this very special topic. And we just kind of inserted this in here while we were waiting for our guest tonight. So, you know, we want to know what is going on, Dr. Tynes, this pan trigimic. And this thing with the children, there's a high number of children in ICU going to the emergency rooms. I mean, what is going on? What's this trigemic? What is, I mean, this part of COVID? You know, let us know, because people want to know. And I've even seen it in my own family. But, you know, I know some have been diagnosed with a serious case of flu that has turned into serious upper respiratory and lower respiratory diseases or whatever you call it. Dr. Tynes, what's going on?
Okay, so you said the trigem, right? So you want to try to make out, right? Yeah, trigemic. So it's called,
right.
You're going to try the gimmick.
I don't know what it is.
No, I'm saying trigemic. Listen to me clearly. I'm not stuttering. It's a trigemic, and we know about gimmicks. So number one, that this is a continuation of misdirection. You never heard me tell you to stop, mask up, glove up. You never heard me tell you that COVID virus had moved on and was no longer present. You never heard me tell you that the medical community had became honest in reporting vaccine-related injuries. You never heard me tell you that medicine has changed when it came to children, and that children you don't have to do the same safety standards with children. You never heard me say those things. So putting that in context, so what we have is a virus that's still there. We still have the regular viruses, respiratory syncytial virus, RSV. We still have the influenza virus. Right now we have the rhinovirus. But what's also going on is that the medical prostitute community, I know Moncrief don't like me to say that, but they try to change science to force, for some reason, vaccination. And it's not about being vaccinated, because these turkeys, these BS people, don't give a damn about vaccination. They only want certain vaccinations. Right now, there's the Novavax finally got released, even though it was created in 2020, and it just took time because it's a natural, regular traditional virus like the smallpox, like the polio, like a flu that's grown in the egg. And when you basically get the dead protein, you get the and your body produces the antibodies to it. And when the God's body produces antibodies, it produces for the past, present, and future. And they're studying this because they're, in theory and science-wise, that natural Novavax should give you like a smallpox natural lifetime immunity to any of the bad things that are coming wrong. The current vaccines, they take a piece of the virus, and so once from A to C, they take a piece and they wait for the virus to mutate to either D or E, and then they take a piece from the D to F, and then they make a vaccine for that. And then when that mutates to G or H, then they'll come back and take a piece. And instead of doing like body will produce a broad folded protein antibody to cover everything in the future, there's money to be made in frequent vaccinations. And there is no such thing as boosters. No, you get a vaccine, that vaccine lasts for a year or greater, then if you have something that you have to do three shots to, we call that series. So your hepatitis B requires three different shots to build up the body's response to it so you would have a good antibody production. So we see that the Pfizer, based on the Mayo Clinic study, was only 42% effective. We see that Moderna was like 72% effective. So Moderna did not need to do it in a series or to do a booster, but Pfizer was going to need three or four shots to try to be effective. We see the same situation with the Plaquenil of Pfizer, where you have these failures and you have to keep taking it over and over again because you get the relapse. Now, when they look at the giving the vaccine to the children, and you look at the data out of Israel in New England Journal, they found out that a significant number of the kids were damaged heart-wise by the vaccine. Certain countries have banned it.
Are you saying that this is by the COVID vaccine or other vaccines?
No, I said by the COVID vaccine. We're talking about the New England Journal. Just came out in the New England Journal in terms of Israel. Now, also what has happened is it's been banned to be given to children outside because, number one, what they found out was when they tried to give the vaccine to children, it didn't work. And so during the Fauci administration, it was said that if it gives a little twitch or something, then go ahead and say that we can give it to the kids. So it's a lie when they're saying this is a safe and effective vaccine for children. There is no data. There is nothing to support that because what they saw is that the same ingredients that you can use in the vaccine without the vaccine, if you give that, you'll get a mild reaction to it. It's the same as if you scratch yourself with a lead pencil, you would get reaction. That's the same thing for that. So that's a problem. So sort it out. And right now, we knew that the intimidation that the hospitals, doctors were not allowed to report any possible vaccine injuries. So we have to look, is these children, have they all been exposed? And we don't even have true reporting to let you know, is that an issue? The other thing that we have to look at for these children is that we have let down barrier protection. We have let down immune protection. We're not making sure that the children have the high dose vitamin C, have the high dose vitamin E, are getting the zinc in. We are not treating this like we're going into the flu COVID season. This is no longer summer. This is the time in November is when the CDC says that last week of October, beginning November, is when you should be getting a flu shot because a flu shot only lasts 4 months. So therefore, we shouldn't have not been getting flu shots in August or July or in September, because you're going to need a second dose. But I don't mind people doing that, because that tells me I can look, just follow the data to see if there's any deaths, if it's safe or not. And if there's no deaths, I give it to my patient. If there's deaths, then I don't use that vaccine for that year. It's just that simple. And for the children, we have not been protecting the children. It could be other viruses. And what we have done, what you don't know, you're not paying attention to. We just did that conference on the, you know, business effect, that they've actually cut back on the treatment and admissions of the pediatric population. So businessmen are saying there's no money in peds because the reimbursement is low. And so you're not going to be, and we have people who are not trained as in thorough in picking up illnesses before. And I can tell you that my grandbaby in Florida, when she got sick, she went to the Florida hospital down in Lakeland, and a dumb resident sent her home, thought was viral, never did any blood work, trying to save money for the insurance company. I sent her back because she didn't get any better. I told my daughter-in-law, they did the CBC, found out my daughter was acute lymphoblastic leukemia. So my daughter was in a leukemic crisis, and her blood count was 4, when it should be like 12 or 14. You see, so we are seeing that we're not aggressively treating our children earlier, because we're trying to save money. We're trying to save the use of antibiotics or antivirals. So it's multifactorial that's kind of going on, but it's a low standard of care. It's a business standard of care, not a physician standard of care. So what has been compromised is the patient-physician relationship. And if you the patient, you the grandma, you the grandpa, you the mother, father, if you don't start taking interest in what's going on, to like the programs we're doing, then you will be visiting and spending more time at funerals and cemeteries. We got to treat our kids earlier, and we have to understand that they need to be tested, and there's treatment. The monoclonal antibody kills COVID. That is the only thing that kills COVID. Monoclonal antibodies, or your natural antibodies, or convalescent antibodies, are the only thing that kill COVID. Are we doing that now? The answer is no. Are we doing it now? No. Biden shut it down for the business people. We were treating everybody with COVID who got a positive test, and we cleaned their bloodstream by using the monoclonal antibody. What he did, trying to be slick, and that's where the patient has to stop playing around and being more intelligent, stop trying to be just listening to music, read a movie, and listening to what's being said. Biden turned the monoclonal antibodies over to the pharmacy. The pharmacy tried to charge doctors $2,500 per bottle of monoclonal antibodies. Then they brought it down to $1,500 to $1,200. And the bastard insurance companies won't pay the doctor back if he buys the medicine. So if he buys the medicine to treat a patient, that doctor will lose $1,200 on every patient that he tries to help, and therefore he will go out of business and close his doors. And that's how they shut it down, trying to be slick. When you heard that mess, we should have been protesting like y'all protested Roe versus Wade. So right now there is an attack on the patient. There is an attack on the pediatric patient. So we are under attack, and we have to spread this knowledge like we're doing right now and fight back and start questioning the politicians and saying that we have to use that word. We have to use that word.
R-E-C-A-L-L. What is it again?
We have to learn recall. Go ahead.
Okay. So are you saying that you no longer have your monoclonal antibodies clinic?
Right now, we cannot use monoclonal antibody unless the person is underinsured or no insurance, but they have not came up with the definition of what underinsured is. So if you try to give the monoclonal antibody to somebody who you think is underinsured and they say is not insured, you can be fined and penalized.
Oh, wow.
So we are at a standstill.
So,
yes, I'm a monoclonal antibody Yeah, I'm a monoclonal antibody treatment center for Barron County and for Detroit. I'm also the Novavax vaccine center for Detroit and for Barron County. Thank you. But
yeah.
Yes. Those things are under attack.
Well, I know they would not even, and you remember because you tried to help. Mm-hmm. You know, I lost my brother, for those who don't mm-hmm. know, to this simply because it wasn't the as you so well put it, it wasn't the COVID, but it was the lack of treatment. And that was because they absolutely refused at every request, at every one of your requests and our requests as a family. They would not treat my brother with the monoclonal antibodies, period. No matter what, they continue
to give him that. Right, so you're right, but let's make it 100% historically correct. So what happened is that monoclonal antibody treatment is supposed to be given right away coming in, but it was two standards of care. So what I said, COVID wasn't killing blacks. It was the systemic racism that was killing blacks. That's why I went from a public health crisis to a public health threat being black. Being black was a public health threat if you got COVID because they waited to day 5 or 8 to wait to after the medicine would be no longer effective before they would give it. That's when they would give it to your brother. That's when they would give it to my uncle. They would give it when it was past the time where the drug could get an effect. And we have a case right down there where you were at, down in Michigan, where a family, where a black man married to a black woman, a mixed child, went in together. The mother and daughter were given the treatment. The ER started right then and there. Mother and father was discharged. The dad was kept there, and he didn't receive treatment until 5 days later and wound up dying. So it's racism that kills us. And we have to stop pretending that racism doesn't exist. We have to tell our children that it exists. We have to tell our grandchildren that it exists. That's what our people did prior to this time. And I'll say to anyone that is foolish to say that not to do that because you don't want to make them feel bad or do that thing. No, that's ignorant. And yes, I could love you and call you ignorant because the body count, the cemetery count doesn't lie. The funeral homes don't lie. We have to go back to history, go back to our behaviors where we protect our own and said wrong was wrong. And we have to call racism out, period. And
Dr. Merrilee,
can you ask Dr. Hines
about the incident of these children being admitted to ICU? With these diseases, is there a relationship? He wants to talk about the vaccines. Is there a relationship to them being vaccinated, not being vaccinated? Why are the numbers of kids, pediatric cases being admitted to ICUs going up so drastically, so quickly? What's happening there?
Right, that's a good question. That's a good question. That's my frustration. Now, right now, they're not letting you know. They're not letting us know if these people are unvaccinated or vaccinated. They're not letting us know. What they're saying right now is that we have to wait on the CDC, that instead of us being doctors and go ahead and doing our multiviral panels and doing this and discussing as a group, we have to wait and for somebody to tell us what to say. So I'm going to try to dig deeper. My problem is that my go-to was Children's Hospital, and right now they're in such a disarray that I don't really know one person over at University Mock Center Hospital. But I do know adult ICU guys, persons at in Grand Rapids. I'm going to try to now to see at the MOTS, Helen DeVos in Grand Rapids, to try to see if I can find somebody who will say something. What I can tell you is the RSV, respiratory syncytial virus. What I could tell you that the some people are having bad problems with the rhinovirus, but in terms of is the SARS-CoV-2 involved, that is not being openly discussed. I was asking also, are we still doing ribavirin for the RSV, or what are we using in that treatment? So RSV is one of them that's having them in the hospital, and his parainfluenza is like another. So we're trying. So to be honest with you, I'm kind of locked out, and I'm trying to work my way in to find out what's going on. And it's not the normal medicine where we could talk with each other to figure stuff out. So I have to take this up separate. All I know is that children normally have the stronger immune system and shouldn't be going through this. We should be seeing this in immunocompromised children. And I will be talking with John Hopkins in Florida, hopefully tomorrow. And then I can better give an update next week. And that's if they're willing to let me know, but I'm going to let them know because I'm specifically working with the bone marrow team right now. So my granddaughter was just released back out into the community. So I do have a meeting scheduled tomorrow. So if this would have took place, if I could have got it today, I could have maybe gave you a more of an up to date. But those viruses are the ones that are there, and we wanted to know could this be a vaccine related situation like it is in Israel or not? So CDC tight lipped, so I can't give you inaccurate information. All I could tell you is that right now I can just refer you to the CDC and see if they're opening up or let anything loose.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much. I appreciate it. And it was a question of concern for the past several days. And so we are, we appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Everybody mask up, glove up, don't touch it, take it home. Mask up, glove up, don't touch it, take it home. And if you don't wear, you can wear any type of gloves that you do for snow gloves, whatever. But people are accidentally taking that stuff home. You still got to do your security measures when you're still here. When you can go out, it's fine. If somebody starts coughing, you know your mask need to go on if you're trying to do it. You try to make sure it's ventilated places. You know, I don't tend to go into closed places. I have a lot of apprehension with that. So we're in the COVID season. We're in the flu season. That's where we are right now. So start taking those precautions. Start getting your three multivitamins a day, 1,000 milligrams of vitamin, 3,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. Making sure your multivitamin has zinc in it. Don't take no more than 25 milligrams a day. You can have side effects. So multivitamin with zinc, 3 pills a day, 1,000 milligrams vitamin C, 3 pills a day. And then if you can get and make sure you get your CoQ10, whether it's 200 milligrams or 300 milligrams, you want to get that up to help to build your antibodies. We now have to start being preventive. We have to be preventive, drinking some hot teas, increasing our fluid intake, do the things that kept us alive in 2020 and 2021.
Thank you so much, Dr. Tynes. Okay, we're going to move on to our guest. I do see Pastor George Green. You're the only one I see on tonight. So I'm going to turn to you right now. This is an update on our Ward Holdings International Straight Out of Africa. So hopefully, more will join us soon. I was told that after 9:30, we would have some on. I do know that Pastor Jacques Williams was here, but dropped. So hopefully he'll come back.
We're here with Andrew Young, Ambassador Andrew Young of Dillard University. So yeah, it's Pastor Green. So I'm on right now to get through from taking pictures. I was taking pictures, so now I'm out here outside the auditorium.
Okay. Oh, so the event is still going on.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay,
I took more pictures with him, so jocking in now.
You would tell us who you are and how you fit in with Ward's holding, and catch us up on where we are and what's been going on since you all were here before. It was, of course, the pre-IPO time, in which I guess we're still there, but if you would just let me know, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much, Dr. Mary. It was such an honor to have Dr. Mary in our presence for the Tanzer Fest. This is Pastor George Green. I'm one of the key spiritual advisors to Mr. Lloyd Ward and to Mr. Mark Johnson, who are co-founders of WHI. Also a major investor and the market brand leader for the Tanzer nuts and all the other crops that we're going to bring through the great city of New Orleans. Well, I have such great news tonight just to let your listeners know that our first shipment of cashews are now in CRC Warehouse in Kenner, Louisiana. So we videotaped it. History-making event. People have been talking about it all on the news. Tomorrow we'll be going to Rouse's supermarket and McBurn supermarkets. Within a week it will be in McBurn's supermarket where people are ready to purchase the cashews. In 2 weeks it will be in Rouse's supermarket. We have accessibility to 16 supermarkets for Rouse's and full supermarkets for McBurn. So we're just excited about this. I mean, the people are so excited. This was really touching my heart. Today, Mr. Valentine and Mr. Godfrey Sembe, they were telling me that, Pastor Green, you really have to understand the significance of this event. The people in Tanzania, after 6 months, you know, they stopped and believing, you know, in the dreams, stop believing in what you say you're going to do for them. And so I want your listeners to understand this was almost a three-year process. And so the people in Tanzania and government are doubting that this was going to actually take place. But now all over Tanzania, they're talking about this, all over, from the government, from the top of the government, all the way to the bottom of the government. They're talking about how we have brought it, the first added value product to America, because they say America is the toughest market to break. And I just give all praise and honor to Jehovah, the Most High God, that allowed us to be a vehicle to bring added value, value product to the United States shores. So it's just an honor. And Dr. Mary, I want to thank you for your support. Dr. Mary has been supporting and going to every place that Mr. Lord and have been to, and it was just an honor to have her here in the great city of New Orleans. So looking forward to doing great things with you, Dr. Mary, and also things we're doing with WHI, Warren Soldier International. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. So we do have investors on tonight, and so I know that they may have some questions that we will get to, I want you to share with our listeners how long Tanzania has been trying to get product into the U.S. How long?
Yes, it been between 40 to 30 years. Listen, the ambassador from Tanzania, this is what they have to say. They say this is the second greatest thing that ever happened to Tanzania. The first greatest thing that ever happened to Tanzania is when it became a free country. So they say this is the second greatest event to happen to the country of Tanzania. So they've been trying for 40 plus years to get products into the American market. 40 some years, and so the Lord has allowed us to be that vehicle to get added value products to the shores of the United States of America.
And your team, you're a major team for this product in, you know, in coming into New Orleans. I want everyone to know that that Pastor Green, Pastor Jocks, and they have a number of team members. They're the ones who are moving this, you know, into New Orleans and spearheading this operation. And it is phenomenal. I can't tell you, along with Mark Johnson, who is also in New Orleans, tell you how excited I am, and also investors. I want you to know I brought you some cashews back. So I know a number of you had asked me to be sure. So I got a whole bunch of them, and so I did bring you some back. I do see Mark Johnson now, and I see Pastor Jock Williams. So but before we move to them, Pastor Green, would you also please share who you are outside of Tanzania, outside of the award holding? Holdings business, who you are in New Orleans, and who you are connected with, please.
Yes, well, thank you. Besides Ward's Holdings, the Lord has allowed me to help spearhead a company called GKB Global Kingdom Business, where I serve as CEO founder. You're only as great as your team. So it's really not me. It's the team of Pastor Jock Williams, Prophet Mike Scott, Mr. Jeffrey Keys. We have a team that just really allow us to accomplish a lot of things within our community. GKB Global Kingdom Business, where we have our own TV platform, insurance product. I mean, it's a plethora of stuff that we have to empower our community. Because what happened to us too often, we don't have a holistic approach. So GKB is a holistic approach where we tackle economics, politics. Because when you don't understand politics, they pay politics. You understand. We deal with incarceration, recidivism, health, media, art. So GKB is a plethora of platforms to help our people holistically. We can dance, we can shout, we can speak in tongues, but if we don't know how to empower ourselves, we're going to be broke. And so that's one of the things that GKB is a vehicle to help our people win, to help our people win. So, but it's not me, it's the team. So God just allowed me just to assemble myself with great people who have joined and been a part of GKB.
That's great. Pastor Green, will you please introduce Pastor Jock Williams?
Oh, yes, my honor. Listen, within the GKB group, Pastor Jock have this gift and talent that God has given him, and we call him the voice. This brother is one of the most articulated brothers that can speak well, and so it's a great honor and a privilege for me to introduce to some and present to others the voice, Pastor Jock Williams.
Good evening, Dr. Lee and audience. How are you all doing? It's a pleasure being with you on this evening.
Great, great. So what is your role? And tell us who you are and what you're doing, Pastor. But before he does, I want you all to know that he spoils me while I was there. I'm telling you, he spoils me. And I said to him, I mean, he was there for whatever I needed. and he's going to be the first one to know when I'm coming back. Pastor Jack.
Well, first, let me say this. It was a pleasure spending the time that I had to spend with you. I'm so grateful that God brought us together and gave me the privilege of being able to not only meet my sister, but get to know her and do whatever it is that was required so that your stay can be as comfortable and inviting and as pleasurable as it possibly can be. And it was my pleasure doing whatever it is that you needed so that that could be accomplished. My role in GKB, I'm the Southeast Regional Director. Pastor Green is such a visionary. I love this man, and I love him in a sense like David and Jonathan had that love affair for one another, because he was essentially a needle in a haystack for me. I've been in ministry since the 1990s, been looking for to meet someone who would have a heart for people more than anything else, was not looking to build their own brand, not looking to be an empire, but to understanding the importance of us playing a role in the kingdom of God. And when I met him, it was such a breath of fresh air. But during the pandemic, we got together, and we saw the hurt that the church and the pastors, the leaders of the churches, were going through. And so he devised a plan that if we get together and we pool resources together, that we could survive the pandemic even without people coming to the ministries. A lot of churches weren't prepared, and so when the parishioners could no longer come, the church's bottom line suffered, and many churches closed. So GKB was formulated from that. We traveled around the United States, giving conferences and finding out and meeting the needs of desperate and dying ministries to help them survive. And so that's how our legend was established. That's how our reputation was built. And that's how we're now known throughout. But this Ward Holdings International opportunity is once in a lifetime for us to have the opportunity to be a part of industrializing a continent, not a country, not a city, not a state, but a continent. And we're on the ground level to help our brothers, our diaspora, finally realize the value of God's true riches that he provided to that land. That is something that no one that I know of growing up ever said they wanted to do. No one ever said, I want to industrialize the continent, because we were born in the time when all the industrialization that would take place just about took place. You might find a niche here and there that make you wealthy, but for the most part, things were established. Well, we have the opportunity and a chance to partake in doing so in Africa, and Ward Holdings International, not just by way of cashews, but by many other of the other resources that Africa is rich in, has gone in and has broken the ground. And now we have the opportunity, if we pull ourselves together, pool our resources together, remain unified, and not allow any division or rift to come between. We all have a possibility of a part to play in seeing to it that this becomes a movement like none other, like the children of Israel leaving Egypt and going into their own homeland and establishing themselves as the mightiest nation in the land simply because God was on their side.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. We've got a number of investors on, so I'm not going to keep asking all the questions, but we do have Mark Johnson on, who is the co-founder, and we definitely want you to share. And I know some of you are looking for Lloyd Ward to come on. Hopefully he will before we sign off, even if it's just for a few moments. If someone can please encourage him to come on just for a few moments, we certainly would appreciate that. Martin.
Yes, I'm on.
Okay, so you want to, our investors and listeners are anxious to know where we are, you know, after the before and after the Tanzafest and where we're headed. Martin.
Okay, so Dr. Mary Lee, before I get into the business side, I want your listeners to know, and certainly our investors to know, that you got off the plane on Sunday and came straight to TanzaFest and jumped right in with the second line. And Dr. Mary, you and Lord Ward both are from Michigan, and y'all were joking like y'all were from originally from New Orleans, okay? So I enjoyed the second line, especially watching you and Lloyd kind of leading the way for me. So you set the tone of the rest of the TanzaFest for me. So thank you for taking time to come down. Thank you for coming down and jumping right in to the activities. And yeah, we had a great weekend. And even we had a little touch of rain on Saturday, but guess what?
We
still had a great time on Saturday, and it cooled it off for us. So we're thanking God for a weekend where we just had a great time.
See, I live in La Plata.
We
did.
Can I please ask you to mute your phone?
I think that might be the background noise where Martin is. And so
No, it's not where I am. I'm in a quiet spot. So that's not wrong.
Oh, you are?
Okay.
Well, whoever's got that background knows, need you to mute your phone.
Okay. All right. So Dr. Mary Lee, I know someone may have already mentioned that our first shipment of cashew nuts did arrive in New Orleans earlier today, and this is historic for not just our company, but for Tanzania. And really for the U.S., the United States of America. They have been trying to do this for over 30 years, and we're attending an event at Dillard University, and former ambassador and former mayor of Atlanta, Andrew Young, is here doing a book signing, and he just spoke for about an hour and a half, not talking about his book, but just his life experiences. And for those of you who may not know, Andrew Young actually started doing things in Africa in 1973. So 49, almost 50 years ago, he started doing work over there. And he just complimented our company on accomplishing something that, as he said, that he didn't accomplish. Transacting business, specifically our Tanzanuts, coming into the United States. And so we actually anticipated that they would be here on Friday, the Friday of the festival, but God had it to come today, and it still was a historic occasion for us. We had brought several boxes. Lloyd brought boxes, Scott, Jerry. Our U.S. team, we had been on the ground over there over the last several weeks working up to this point. So several of us had bought several boxes over. And so, Dr. Mary, and I know you took some things back with you. That is a result. It's a result of all of us bringing product over, knowing that, you know, we potentially may have some challenges. But they did get here today. They're in the warehouse. We have two retailers that have already agreed that they want our product in. I will also tell you that several of our investors who were here had already placed an order with Karen. So while we plan to do business with retailers, the strongest part of what we're going to be doing is direct to consumer. And most of you know that we have a database, a faith-based trusted network that has over 120 million people in it. And that database, it's going to be direct sales to all of them, as well as others who may not be a part of that database. So direct to consumer is going to be a key part of what we're doing. And we're already planning for the next several shipments to come by air, but also the ones that are going to come by sea. So it's an exciting time for us. I will also tell you that we formed a new company a few months ago called Motherland, and that is to do Farm Fresh and Fresh Direct. And so we will start doing some things with avocado, grapes, strawberry, and I'll give you something that most of us don't know. I didn't know it, and we didn't know it until we just started doing some research. America, China buys 90% of their ginger from Africa. Again, China buys 90% of their ginger from Africa, and America buys 80% of their ginger from China. So we got to cut that out. We're gonna start selling ginger directly from the rich and fertile soils of Tanzania and other African countries. We're gonna start selling direct to the U.S. And that's just another step
and
Mark, God has blessed
Mark,
us with.
Dr. Mary,
yes.
Dr. Mary, this is Lloyd. I wanted to say hi to you and all your listeners, and thank you so much for your support. And I want you to know that, you know, it's on. I mean, God's provision and promise to Africa will be realized through these times. And, you know, it's very important to know that all we're doing is doing what is destined to be. And we are so honored and favored to be a part of this. And we know, and you are so terrific being there and supporting us and being a part of this as well. So thank you. I wanted to say that to you personally.
Hey Lloyd, you weren't on and didn't hear me before I started my comments. I let her listeners know and our investors know that I saw you and Sister Mary leading the second line, shaking a leg, both of y'all.
I tell you, we went about three, maybe a little bit more, 3 or 4 miles, and Dr. Mary, you were there every step of the way. I mean, you were fabulous, and you were dressed for the occasion, and it was just a grand time. So thank you so much.
It really was. And thank you. We appreciate it, and everyone is so excited because this is something that Tanzania has been trying to do for so very long. And, you know, I just share with our listening audience who has been buying or distributing the cashews primarily before Ward's Holding came in and rescued.
Well, so it goes to now, obviously, here's the process. They harvest and the RCNs, raw cashew nuts, are sold to India and Vietnam. India consumes most of them internally. Vietnam processes them and sells to the rest of the world. Vietnam is selling about 80% of the world's cashew nuts. They process them, and they get 90% of their cashews from Africa. So there you go. It's another one of those ginger things that Martin was just saying. And then what they do is they sell into the global market. In the U.S., they sell into people like J.F. Braun, who's our buyer, right? And J.F. Braun is another intermediary, and they buy the cashews that have been deshelled, so the kernels inside. They've been cleaned, and they've been sized, and they've been put in vacuum-packed bags, and then into boxes and sold in what we call wholesale into the U.S. and global market. That's what Vietnam does. And then you've got processors in the U.S. that will buy those wholesale products, and they will do something with them, roast them, coat them, salt them, mix them with other things. And so there's a variety of places where you can get it. You can get it at Costco, of course, at CVS, Walgreens, and so the drugstores. You can get it certainly in the big box stores, the Krogers and the Walmarts and like that. And they have big buying organizations that do that. But what happens is because, you know, Vietnam aggregates from many different African countries, they get an average mix. They don't get the best because Tanzania makes the best cashew nuts. And so we're not going to aggregate Tanzania with any other country's harvest. We're going to keep it segregated, and we're going to bring them to the world as the world's best tasting cashew nuts. And it'll be direct from Tanzania into the USA. No brokers, dealers, traders in between. And here's a beautiful thing about that, and Martin was giving you some idea of it, that once we open up that channel for cashews, we can bring other products through that as well. Value-added avocados, so guacamole and avocado oil, and we can bring in, you know, do many things with cashews. We can have cashew oil, cashew milk. We can have cashew powder. You can have cashew kernels, cashew chunks. And so what happens is we create a direct channel for expansive direct trade between the U.S. and Africa. I'm going to give you another statistic. Martin gave you one. Currently, China on an annual basis is doing $4.5 billion worth of trade with Africa. The U.S. is doing $200 million. China's doing $1.5 billion, and all of U.S. with Africa is doing about $200 million. That ain't right. That's just not right. And why has U.S. been so thin with our trading activity with Africa? It's because Africa has been controlled by the Europeans, and the United States does not want to directly interfere with that. But we are. We're directly interfering with it. We're directly going in, and we're working with the farmers and the in-country processors, and we're working with the private sector and the public sector. And we're helping them get affordable capital, and we're helping them with technology, human-centric, sustainable technology, earth-friendly. And we are bringing what we've been led to do, which is a new day and a new way in Africa. And as Africa becomes more a part of the mainstream of global economic enterprise, the world benefits. The world benefits. And that's what we'll see in the next 10 years, the next 20 years. So.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, and I know that you've got a heavy schedule. We appreciate you joining us tonight, and so we'll go on back to Martin. Let Martin finish.
Okay, thank you. I'll look forward to coming at another time, Dr. Mary, and all the listeners. We thank you all,
absolutely.
And we honor you for walking this journey with us. Thank you.
Absolutely, thank you, Martin.
Yes, I'm still on.
Okay, I know we've got questions, and so we're going to start with Dr. Dr. Moncrief, and then we're going to go to, I know we've got a couple more investors, Marshawn and some more investors, so we're going to get to each one of you, Mike Steinwood, as well, so that you can ask your questions, starting with Dr. Moncrief.
Well, thank you, and it's good to have Ward Holding back on the show. My question is just going to be a basic one. You guys came on and got us all excited and thrilled about being investors, and now the cashews have actually arrived on the shore of this country. What do you see for the investors happening in the future?
Well, number one, when you invest with our company, we have investor meetings the second Saturday of every month. So we have our upcoming investor meeting will be this coming Saturday. It will be at 9 a.m. Eastern. So we invite you all certainly to be in that call, investor call and meeting. And you'll hear, certainly the updates on things that we don't put on our we don't talk about specifics in our pre-IPO meetings that we have on Monday and Thursday of every week. So those of you who have invested will be invited to that meeting this coming Saturday. Next is we're going to probably start newsletters that and things that we send out on a weekly basis. Stephanie Frederick is still down here with us. And Dr. Mayer, I know you and Stephanie spent some time together while you were here. We're still working on the television portion of our business, where we're going to we have a television network that's been offered to us 365 days a week, a year, 24/7. So we have a lot of work that's going on with that, and Stephanie is leading the charge on that. We've been invited to have a weekly series with Trinity Broadcasting Network, and Lloyd was asked to be featured on that to start with, and they want to feature things that we want to bring to the market here in the U.S. Not just our cans of nuts, but we have some the wines of Dodoma and there are several other things that we plan to introduce to the U.S. market. Other things, we're still in the process of moving forward with our prospectus and, you know, going public. We started some discussions a couple of months ago with the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ. And so we're going to bring some of the country leaders from the Dar es Salaam Stock Exchange and the Capital Market Security Authority, that's the Securities and Exchange equivalent in Tanzania, as well as some of the bank and other officials. We're going to bring them to Wall Street, and we're going to set up a sister exchange relationship, and that's similar to what we're doing here in New Orleans, where we have a signed sister city relationship between the city of New Orleans and the city of Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. We have a sister port relationship that's been set up between the port of New Orleans and the port of Dar es Salaam. So those are things that we're doing to stand up our business on the U.S. side. As it relates to things that we're doing, we're in this is when our company is really getting ready to start generating not just sales, but a lot of activity related to our business growing. And really before the end of this year, we're going to see several other shipments come into the U.S. So I hope I'm answering your question. We have a lot of business things that we have planned to do before the end of this year. We also have been invited to help with the humanitarian effort in South Sudan. The negotiations are going on with that right now, but this is something that a company has asked us to ship rice, sugar, and corn, and they've even expanded that into flour into South Sudan, where they're having some people who are actually starving to death. So those are more of the activities that we didn't anticipate. But they're going to be things that our investors benefit from, because we are going to take that on, and there's humanitarian aid associated with that. This is not things that we're having to raise capital for. These are things that are being offered by others who want to help with the issue that we have with starvation. I think the world has 7 billion people in it. And really, it's expected to grow to 9 billion. And so we got people who are still having issues having, you know, food. So, and that's something that's very important. And there are people who understand it. And in fact, I believe the Biden administration, and Dr. Mary, I believe you follow it as closely as I do. They are active in helping support those things, as well as the World Bank and others. So mm-hmm. we have a lot going on as a company right now, and we want to make sure that we keep our investors informed of it. And this Saturday, we're going to provide some additional updates to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Dr. Your question?
Another little short question. When will we be seeing Tanzanuts here in Michigan?
Okay, that's a great question.
Right.
Yeah,
but we got to
see. Yeah, and listen, we're ramping up right now, and we for those of you who have relationships in other parts of the world, we're setting up super dealer relationships right now. And Michigan, we had a call from someone who wants to set up in Michigan just a couple of days ago, and it came from my investor network. So for those of you who have relationships in other parts of the world, we have people who've invited us to Baltimore, and we do believe it's going to be a great time to go up there. They just elected their first African-American governor. So we believe that the timing is right in a lot of places. Dr. Mary, I know you've been leading the charge on getting us connected to your listeners. I want anyone interested in arranging relationships to get them to us, and we will follow up. We're focused on the market where we have already shipped the product, which is New Orleans, and we had already signed that sister city relationship, and there are benefits to us doing it here first. and we want to talk about those specifics as we develop those relationships. But we're open to the entire U.S., and that's why I mentioned earlier that faith-based database that we have access to. We're going to be shipping directly to them, but we are going to do sister super dealer relationships throughout the U.S.
That a little bit. You know, we do have Neighborhood Commerce that's affiliated with distributors into the Myers, Dr. Marquise. So, you know, I plan to have conversation with the Myers, and we also have another partner is connected. We have products already in Whole Foods, and we only need to add products this week. And so my partner, and that's all in the, you know, we've licensed throughout the entire Midwest right now. And so we do know that, it, meeting the criteria for Whole Foods, we likely can get into Whole Foods in the Midwest rapidly. And but we are concentrating too, you know, on a local in New Orleans, but we do have the entire Midwest. And right in Detroit, we're connected with access into the Myers, and that's a major chain in Michigan, and I believe Ohio. And I believe in Indiana as well. And, you know, Myers has been around a very, very long time. So we do have, you know, we're just in some discussions. You know, I'm going to do all I can do, right? And everything I can, I'm going to pull out all the stops. So everything that I'm connected with, we will definitely ask. I have no problem asking at all. So, Doctor, we're going to go to, I know, I want to go to Marshawn. And Marshawn, and do you have, are you and Mike Steinwood on at the same time? Are you on the same line? Marshawn, let's see, is your line open? Your line is open. 434 is open.
Okay, there we go. Okay. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you.
Okay, there we go. Oh, yeah, no, the question was definitely answered. My question, I know we can have the meeting on Saturday. So, like I said, I'm very excited about what's to come and very, you know, getting things slowed down so I can really get as much a part of everything that's going on. But I'm just really excited about the future of what Tanzania is doing, what it could do for the world, and with the partnerships that you have and things that we're creating. So I'm just really excited for the future. But our question was kind of answered, but I'm very excited.
Okay, great. We're glad it was answered. Thank you. Thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you. And no. Every night. Thank you here every show. Okay, so Dr. Long.
Hi. I don't really have any questions, but everything that everyone's offered has been insightful. But I don't have any specific questions.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Okay, we're going to ask our listening audience if you have any more questions or any questions. Tap one on your phone, and we will certainly open up your line. Okay, Dr. Moncrief, is there anything else you would like to ask about?
Just a little bit curious about it and excited about this whole opportunity. Tell us, is there still opportunities for people who are interested in becoming a part of Ward Holdings to come on board?
Yes, and thanks for the question. Look, we're keeping it open for now, and as we move forward, Lloyd and I were are scheduled to be in New York to meet with some sources that we're in discussions with on other capital needs for our company. But for right now, we're going to keep it open, and we'll let you know, Sister Mary, Dr. Mary will know, as well as our investor group will know, when we plan to close it. But for right now, it is still open, and we have pre-IPO investor calls every Monday and Thursday of every week. And those calls start at 7 p.m. Eastern. So if you're interested, you're more than welcome to join us tomorrow. Give Dr. Mary Lee your email address and name, and we will add you to our email distribution, and you'll stay on that email distribution until you ask us to take you off.
Okay. Dr. Moncrief?
Yes. Calls on Monday, all people have to do is get their email and contact information to Dr. Mary Lee, and you'll get back to them and put them on so that they can come and learn more about how to invest. This is just a golden opportunity. I've looked hard to find what's wrong with it, and I'm having a little trouble finding that. So if somebody else can find it, please share. Otherwise, it just doesn't come along very often, and you know we should take advantage of it. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's absolutely true. This is a phenomenal opportunity. I mean, there isn't anything like this that I know of, and I've been out here in economic development for 55 years. And as I say, you know, 55 years, I'm only 27 years old, but I've been out here a long time, and there is nothing like this that I've seen. Or even I've been in boardrooms, presidential offices, and you know, for lots of planning and lots of development and just lots and lots and lots. And no one helping to industrialize Africa or doing this to at this level, to this extent. And I'm extremely happy, and I invite everyone, you have any questions, you know, text, call 571-251-5193. Go to the website, Neighborhood Commerce Institute. You can Google Dr. Mary Lee Live, and I'll come up. So I'm easy to find. So please do that, and we will definitely connect you. We would definitely connect you. If you want wealth, if you have any kind of plan to build any legacy, you want to be on this. You want to be with this. I totally agree. So back to Martin. I don't see any further questions. If you want to just go ahead.
I do have one further question. Martin, or at least for him to explain the workforce opportunities here in the United States and the workforce opportunities in Tanzania. Can you talk about that?
Rather than just for Tanzania, and just in Africa overall, please remember that we plan to be in there are nine African cashew nut producing countries, and we've been contacted we're in communication with eight of those nine, which is inclusive of Tanzania. But we plan to create 40 million jobs, and about 4 million of those are going to be direct jobs, and then the indirect jobs will, you know, certainly be a part of that those numbers. Over in the U.S., on the U.S. side, in New Orleans, for example, We went to, we started with a warehouse here, a company called CRC Global, which is where we're restoring our cashew nuts. Certainly those are, because of the sheer volume of what we're going to be doing, we will probably eventually do our own warehouse. We've had some discussions with some of our partners, Jeff Run and others, who want to locate near us. So they're going to be direct jobs for our from our company here, not just the super dealer opportunities as business people, but that we're going to have some salespeople. We're going to have others who are assisting us with marketing. We have we actually have our global chief marketing officer, Valentine Mugende, here with us today. He's been here for the last couple of weeks on the ground here, setting up relationships for us with retailers and others. But there are going to be many other opportunities. There are going to be trucking opportunities. We just engaged a trucking firm out of Miami to haul the product from the Miami International Airport into New Orleans. Our team still is growing. Stephanie's doing some things on the media and advertising, media and entertainment side. So all of those things are going to create jobs and other business opportunities for your entrepreneurs that are part of your listening audience. So we actually had a specific request from one of the city councilmen here in New Orleans. His name is Councilman Oliver Thomas. He actually has the largest black district in the state of Louisiana. And he said he wanted to see some opportunities over in his area. I have one thing I want to share with you all. Dr. Mary, I'm not familiar with all of your audience, obviously, but I will tell you this. Lloyd and I wanted to go out and listen to some music a couple of years ago while we were in Dodoma, and that's the capital of Tanzania, Dar es Salaam, where we have our office. That's the business capital, but we were in the capital, and we went to one of the nicest nightclubs I've been in my life. And I've been to the House of Blues in New Orleans, I've been to B.B. King's in New York and Memphis and other nice places throughout the U.S. But the nicest place that I've been to in my life was in Dodoma. And imagine going to a place where there are 400 of us, black Americans, African Americans. We went into a place 400 and nobody had a gun. And so what I think God was showing me and what I share with you is I believe we should take the best of Africa and bring it here. And we need to take the gifts and talents that God has blessed us with and go help our brothers and sisters in Africa. This is bigger than just cashew nuts. This is bigger than just agriculture products. God is uniting us with our African brothers and sisters, and it's just time for us all to come together. They have a lot of great things that's going on over there. It's a beautiful country, a beautiful continent, and I believe it's just time for us to pull together and help. I believe we can stop our kids and young people from killing each other. I believe we can create opportunities for them to make life. We got to listen to them, certainly, but there's I think there's going to be a lot more that comes out of this. God is he's using our company right now to unify us on the investment piece and us working together and trusting each other that that we're going to do what we say we're going to do. And Lloyd and I are committed to delivering for our investors and for our friends, our family and friends who've invested in our company. But I think it's much bigger than that. I think it's time for us to pull together and help each other on other fronts. So we want to create jobs in every market in which we have relationships. We want to create business opportunities as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's time. It really is time. And I certainly believe that is, you know, what is going on without a doubt in my mind. you know, Neighborhood Commerce has been working with over 100, you know, African projects, you know, for a bit here, and even before, you know, recently when, you know, when I was doing work with, you know, other contractors, I had a lot of work, you know, with Africa, and the need is so great. And so I'm just grateful. I'm thankful because this is the first time that I haven't, this is the first time that I haven't felt alone. Yes, I was with, you know, Advancing Native Missions, but that was that's a white-based organization that works worldwide with everyone, not exclusively Africa. So I worked with you know, many, you know, countries and all continents. But this is the first time that I've been affiliated with a Black-operated organization. And, you know, with, you know, working in Africa and with African programs and projects. So I'm excited about it. I'm really, really, really excited about it. I feel that I'm not alone. And earlier someone, you know, has stated that, you know, about, you know, the call, didn't use the word call, but, you know, the call or felt the urge to work, you know, in Africa. Well, certainly I have for many, many, many years when, you know, long ago, you know, after I'd given my life to Christ and as a teenager, it's always been a part of me, a part of my heart. And so, I've done, you know, I've adopted children and missions and done a lot of things, you know, on my own. But I'm grateful and thankful that, you know, I no longer feel alone. I mean, even with the white organizations, I still felt alone, even though there were other, you know, a few Blacks here and there. But, you know, this here is Black-based, and I love it. And I love Ward Holdings and all the people, everyone. I'm just thankful and grateful that God has brought you all in my life. And there's a lot of work to be done. And as you all know, that's my background, economic development, inside and out. I do it in my sleep. And I'm not joking. I do it in my sleep. I get answers in my sleep. When I'm working on different projects, God brings me the answers in my dreams. And don't think I'm crazy because I'm not. But, yes, God has shown me how to do a lot of things, you know, when I'm in a lucid state or in the spirit and even in my dreams. So I'm grateful. I thank y'all. And so we are, you know, wrapping it up. So we're just going to go to each one of you just once more for you to give ask a final question or make a final statement. And I believe we have, I think we have you, Martin. So you will, you know, say the final last remarks. So Dr. Moncrief, Dr. Fong, Marshawn, and Mr. Did we hear from Mr. Sherman? Okay. Mr. Steinberg, I'm sorry. So Dr. Moncrief.
Yes, thank you, Martin. Thank you, Mr. Ward, for putting this vision, turning this vision into a reality and allowing us to come along. We all paid the lottery as it grows, grew to be over $1 billion, and our chances of winning kept coming down with it. And here you are on the other side, you know, giving us an opportunity that we can truly invest in and serve not only our own personal needs, but the needs of our relatives who we've left centuries ago, a way of bringing us home and helping them and helping ourselves. So I truly appreciate that. And I look forward to your next steps here in the United States after, what's happening now in New Orleans, the next steps, what we will be able to see here. So thank you.
Okay. Well, I want to thank all of you, and Dr. Mary, I want to thank you for opening up your listeners to us and what we're doing. I want to thank all of them, all of those who've invested, and those who are just listening to our story, and looking forward to getting some cashew nuts in a store near all of you.
Thank you, Dr. Long.
I just want to give thanks again to you, Dr. Mary Lee, as well as Mr. Ward and his colleagues. I'm still interested in the project, but tonight has been even more informative, and I look forward to further talks and meetings with everybody on the show. Again, thank you.
Thank you. Marshawn and Mr. Steinberg.
I was listening, and I heard Dr. Moncrief say that she couldn't find anything wrong with this program and everything that's happening. And then she answered her own question when she said that there's just not programs like this that exist. And I think that's probably the only thing wrong with it, that there's just no programs like this that exist with an opportunity to become great, to create a legacy for not just yourself or your children, but for the community abroad. And so with the opportunity, when you look at what we can do here for those in Africa, and then what we can do here for those in the States, you know, I think this is just a great opportunity, and knowing that this just starts with just the cashews and the tanzanites, the opportunity for the other projects and other things that are out there available throughout the whole of Africa. So this is the beginning of something really big, of like a, you know, start of Christopher Columbus kind of landing on America, in sense, in this way, we don't have to do it without killing anybody or doing anything. We can build a nation off of peace and prosperity within each other. So I'm very excited. I'm going to be working, like I said, as we've been working in the community, getting it set. We are definitely going to meet you guys in the middle as we prepare. I think a lot of our youth and our young men are excited and ready to relate and get to Africa. And we're going to make sure that as I start to bring our groups and our projects together with what you guys are doing, I think this is going to be a great sense of synergy that the world has never seen before. So I'm just very excited about the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. And Doc Martin, last words.
I want to say again to you, thanks again for another opportunity for us to speak to your listeners. I hope and pray that everything that we're doing, that we're being clear, and that we're providing you the information that you need. If not, my number is 318-792-2456. Again, 318-792-2456.
Thank you so much. God bless you all. And I will see you and hear you next week. Same time, same station. This is Dr. Mary Lee saying that I love you. Good night and stay safe. God bless you all. Good night.
Peace to the ancestors. Yes. Peace to Dr. Cornell West. Movement. Yes. We
came from the bottom. Ever since they got us, we've been going through these problems. 400 years behind and it's no promise that we gon' never actually be equal, to be honest. It's messed up how they put us in chains, kidnapped our language and changed our names. But when we speak Ebonics, then they call it a shame. They leave us with a couple options, rob us, slang. Now we locked up a game. How much can our skin take? We went from slaves to inmates, carrying the weight of the 50 states. Working your forms, black nannies carrying white babies in their arms. Black men sacrifice their lives in your wars, but you'll never show appreciation here at home. You treat us so damn wrong, you act like you hate my race. The police, they just beat us in the streets like an 808 base. America, when will you defend my case? You never will, cause your freedom is fake. I'm only living here cause I wanna get paid enough to round up all my family and shake.
Get up, get up.
Might work till a couple of quirks. Can't call it pancakes cause you pour some syrup. It's a whole lot bigger than a pretty new house, especially when the road is still running about. P. Diddy running marathons, races go. That's going to the school where the tax money go. Homeland security now, there's a phenomenon. Pacifying folks by hanging Saddam. Troops still riding, still obliging, still no Bin Laden. Tuned in waiting for the president's announcements. No 40 acres, take these 40 ounces. We ain't gon' get on the levees. Revolution televised early.
America,
is you ready?
Why you wanna treat me so cold? America, I done gave you all that I own. America, took me from my mama so young. America, locked me up and gave me your name.
When you steady being forced to climb, instead of how you back, have you beat and lost your mind? Especially when you done been down for so much time. Getting up don't even really ever cross your mind. You got pawn shop, gun shop, liquor store time. SWAT team, crack fiends, unemployed line. Stay late, dollar short, trying to buy time. What we do to survive is defined as a life of crime. You can't ball, then you forced to grind. If you fall, then you cross the line. And I've been putting in work from 9 to 5 and 5 to 9. Since phone calls cost a dime. What it made me is one of the relevant, highly intelligent brothers not only dealing with the same drug selling. If I'm a hustler, then what's more American? We all founded on the same thug heritage.
Why you wanna